Philippians chapter 2, starting in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. I do want to mention just a couple things very briefly that I failed to mention earlier. I talked to Brother TJ this morning. He is in England. Him and Miss Hannah, they are returning home on Tuesday. But I had sent out a text about the missionary there in England, Brother Mike Comstock, and the missionary that they're with. Their car had been stolen. And he said they had received no news at all whatsoever about the car. But they were having good services, and they were looking forward to the service there this morning, which has already passed by now there. But continue to pray for them, if you will, and their return home this week. Also, I talked to Brother Dr. Don Anderson, messaged me this morning, and he was here just a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and he had made mention of the fact he's going to the Philippines again, the first time since he had a heart attack and some severe heart issues as a result of COVID, stayed in the hospital, I think, 84 days, and was under the weather for almost a year. But he's making his first trip back to the Philippines. This will be his 10th trip there. And he wanted me to be sure to ask the church to pray for him. He's preaching at Sunlight Baptist Church in Kernersville this morning. And then he's flying out to the Philippines this afternoon. Also, Brother Lou Carney texted me this morning. He's in Belfast, Ireland. And he sent me a picture. He said, I heard these two guys street preaching. And he said, actually, they were broadcasting Billy Graham's gospel message. And they were broadcasting it loud enough for people to hear it clearly for blocks. He said, I talked to them for a while, handing out tracts, gave them money to buy more tracts. What a tremendous, unexpected blessing. So I certainly do appreciate Brother Lou and him being in Belfast, Ireland. I'm glad the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not restrained or confined. Amen. And people all over the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad the Lord's in the saving business, aren't you? Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2. We completed Philippians chapter 1 this past Wednesday afternoon, this past Wednesday night. And we will begin this morning in Philippians chapter 2. And I do hope the Lord will help us. I'll mention just a couple things. We'll read several verses of Scripture. And we'll talk about some things probably only in the first couple of verses this morning. But if you recall, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul acknowledged that there were some people were emboldened to stand up for Christ and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ because he was in prison. And I sure hope that my testimony is that I have encouraged someone else to stand up for Jesus. And I don't want to be a coward, amen. I want to stand up for the Lord. And so other people used Paul's imprisonment as an opportunity to slander him, knowing that he would not, or maybe that he could not, because of his place at the time, retaliate in some way. But Paul's attitude towards those who opposed him was simply this: if this is God's will for my life right now, regardless of whether or not the gospel is being preached with strife or contention or goodwill, whatever the case may be, I'm just glad that the gospel is being preached. And that ought to be our attitude, amen. Just glad that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. Now here in Philippians chapter 2, Paul is going to continue the theme of our need for humility. I mentioned several things about him in chapter 1 and what a great example of a Christian he is. Certainly an example that you and I should long to desire or follow or to be like. And we ought to be Christ-like. But Paul made mention of the fact that we should follow him as he follows Christ when he's writing to one of the churches. And so he's going to remind us here in this chapter of our need to be humble and our need to stay humble. Sometimes we go through periods of humility, and oftentimes because of circumstances in life or different things that come up or trouble or problems, that can oftentimes be changed. But Paul is encouraging them not to just be humble, but to stay humble. And I pray the Lord would help us to have humility. Now, as Paul's going to declare throughout this chapter, in fact, going to use that as an example of who the greatest example of humility is of all time, and obviously that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at these first 11 verses, and as I mentioned, we will not get through these 11 this morning, but I will read them what we'll see during these 11 verses is the example of Christ. So the heading, and this is just the heading in the particular Bible I read, these first 11 verses are entitled An Exhortation to Love, Unity, and Humility. And that certainly is the truth. So let's read these verses together. We'll pray together and we'll look at some things in verse 1. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you for these great verses of Scripture, this great passage in the Bible. I pray you would help us this morning as we look into this text. I pray you would give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to say things that would be pleasing to you, that would be helpful to this body of believers. And help us, Lord, to refrain from saying anything that would be contrary to your word or contrary to your will. I sure need your help. Lord, as much or more than ever, I need your help today. Would you please use us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in these verses that we mentioned the example of Christ. We see, first of all, in verse number 1, the example of his love. I'll read the first 2 verses. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now he mentions a word here in verse number 1, if there therefore be any consolation in Christ. What does this word mean? Well, the word consolation, according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means comfort. It means alleviation of misery or distress of mind. It means refreshment of mind and spirit. And so it is a comfort. It is an alleviation of misery. Now, we're going to turn to a lot of places in the Bible this morning. I hope you have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Hold your place in Philippians. We're coming right back. In Romans chapter 15, in verse number 5, we're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture, one here and one in 2 Thessalonians, about consolation. Now, Romans chapter 15, verse number 5, Paul writing to the church at Rome, and the Bible says in verse number 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you that you be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these two passages are very closely related. These two verses are very similar to the verses that we use in our text verses in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And so there is a great need for Christians. There is a great need for church members to be like-minded in unity. Now, come, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read verses 16 and 17. We won't say a great deal about this consolation, but I do want to mention this passage as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 16. The Bible says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And so you and I that are saved, you and I that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we have been given everlasting consolation. Now, that remember, that word is comfort. It's alleviation from misery. Now, we're living in a miserable world, but I'm glad that you and I don't just have consolation promised to us for today. I'm glad we have an everlasting consolation, amen. And so we have an everlasting comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is certainly, and that certainly gives us reason to rejoice. Now, we understand, we know that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. And those of us who have been saved have received that Comforter. And so we have comfort now in Christ. And I'm glad I'm not concerned about the future. I'm not reading the horoscopes. I'm not going to fortune tellers. None of that stuff means anything to me at all. In fact, it's ungodly and unbiblical and worthless. I have an everlasting consolation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my comfort. I don't fear eternity. I don't fear death. I don't fear hell. Amen. But why? Because I have been redeemed from that. And in its place, I've received an everlasting consolation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I am gloriously saved by God's grace. And because of that, I have comfort. Now, come back to Philippians chapter 2. So if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, then notice the next phrase, if any comfort in love. Now, we know that there is consolation in Christ, and we know that there is definitely comfort in love. There's certainly comfort in the love of Christ. And listen, love not only brings comfort, it brings happiness and it brings contentment as well. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. What a blessing. And so love is full of joy. Come, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So love is full of joy, but by contrast, hatred is full of misery. In fact, it brings misery. It brings heartaches and destruction and disappointment. It takes the joy out of living. But I am glad that there is comfort in love. Now, however, God is love. Praise the Lord for that. And we are to walk in love. Look at 1 Corinthians. I'm trying to find my place. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. There is consolation in Christ. There is comfort of love. Look what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Now, don't miss this next phrase. "And the God of all comfort." Now listen, if He is the God of all comfort, that means that there is no real or no lasting comfort outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad that I am in Christ. He is in me. When I got saved, I got saved because I loved me. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't get saved because I realized that Jesus loved me. I didn't get saved because I realized a lot of things. I got saved because I realized that I was a sinner. And because I was a sinner, I was separated from God. And if I died in that condition, I was going to spend eternity in hell. There's no comfort in that. But there is comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I got saved, I received some benefits that I wasn't aware of. I received everlasting consolation. I received the God of all comfort. And so regardless of what we face in life, regardless of our trials, our tribulation, our heartaches, regardless of the things that we face, we are not as the world that has no hope. He is the God of our salvation, and we can hope in Him. He is the God of all comfort. Amen. And so, listen, we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be defeated. We simply have to have hope in the right source. And that source is the God of our salvation. And so the Apostle Paul, he said here, blessed be God. I'll read verse 3 again. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now look at this. who comforted us in all our tribulation. And so the same God that is the God of all comfort, there's no real, no lasting, no true, no enduring comfort apart from Him. The same God that's the God of all comforts promised us that He would comfort us in not some of, not part of, but in all our tribulation. And so what a blessing, amen. This is a great comfort. Now, he said, we'll read on, verse number 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And so the Lord comforts us in all of our tribulation. And in return, you and I should be willing to comfort those whom we have opportunity to comfort, that they may be comforted as well. And that goes along with this unity that we're talking about here in Philippians chapter 2. Now, come back to the passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. You say, preacher, do we have to look at every phrase? Well, we don't have to, but I sure do like to. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Now look at this. If any fellowship of the Spirit. And if you notice, that is a capital S. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so there is no real Christian fellowship apart from the Spirit of God. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that dwells within the heart of every single individual that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is the Spirit that leads us in the path of righteousness. It is the Spirit that leads us to love instead of hate. It is the Spirit of God that leads us to humility instead of pride. It is the Spirit of God that leads us to recognize and to encourage and to strengthen good works in others instead of being so, so condescending. And so we live in a time when people are so proud of themselves that they're always diminishing or minimizing what someone else is doing. That's not humility. We are the Spirit of God. God leads us to exalt and promote others above our own selves. Amen. And that is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the spirit of jealousy that leads and encourages someone to pull down or to put down others. But it is the Spirit of God that leads us to encourage and exhort others. I want to have the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, Paul, look if you will, hold your place here and look at Ephesians just right quickly. It's just turn backwards a couple of pages. Paul encourages believers to be filled with the Spirit. I wasn't going to turn and read this. I was just going to mention it, but I don't know. I think I'll read it. Look what the Bible says. It's talking about not walking as fools. So in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15, the Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That's watchful. Now, the contrast of that is not as fools. So, if you're not walking circumspectly, you're not looking out for spiritual things, you're walking foolishly. And we're not to walk as fools, but as wise. How do we do that? Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he's talking about the fellowship of the Spirit. In the book of Ephesians, he's encouraging us to be filled with the Spirit. And he says, don't be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, you have exceeded a limit that God has set if you participate in the drinking of alcoholic beverages. God said, don't exceed that limit. But in opposition to that, or contrary to that, I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so we need the filling of the Spirit of the Lord. How do you do that? Speaking to yourselves, verse 19, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. This goes along with our context in Philippians. Submitting yourselves one to another. And so, you want to know what the will of the Lord is? Well, we ought to be happy, we ought to be rejoicing, we ought to be thanking the Lord, and we ought to be praising the Lord, and we ought to be submitting ourselves to others. That's just part of what the will of the Lord is for your life. Some of you have been wondering, I wonder what God's will is for my life. Well, get this down first. And a lot of other things will start to just fall in place. Amen. Now, so there's the fellowship of the Spirit. Now, let's look at the very last phrase. Come back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse number 1. We'll look at this last phrase in verse number 1. Interesting phrase. I'll read the verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now, if you read the Bible and you don't take time to try to understand the meaning of biblical words, you'll come up with an idea or an understanding that is not biblical. And so when we think about bowels, we think about the intestines of an animal or the entrails, especially of man, sometimes even the heart, having to do with the intestinal. I won't get into that, but you know what the bowels are? Normally, when people talk about their bowels, it is not a good thing or in a good way. Now, the Webster's 1828 dictionary says that gives three definitions for bowels. I'll tell them to you. I'll show you which one this is, and I think it'll be a blessing and be helpful to you as a believer. First of all, the word bowels, as we know it, is the intestines of an animal, the entrails, especially of man, the heart. Number two, the second definition, the interior part of anything, such as the bowels of the earth. And then there's the third definition, which is the definition that is aligned with this passage of Scripture. And we'll give you other Bible passages to reference that as well. And that is this, the seat of pity or kindness. Hence, tenderness, compassion in a scriptural sense. And so, when Paul said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, there is comfort in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, He is our consolation, He is our comfort, and there is definitely comfort in His love. And I hope that there is fellowship with the Spirit. I fellowship with Him through the Spirit. I fellowship with you through the Spirit of God. And then he said, if there's any bowels and mercies. So Paul said, listen, is there any kindness? Is there any tenderness? Is there any compassion? Is there any mercies in your life? Amen. And I'm thankful that there can be because of who we are in the Lord Jesus. Now, look at Colossians, if you will. Colossians is just past Philippians. We turn backwards to Ephesians, turn forward to Colossians. These bowels and mercies are something that we as believers are asked to put on. Now, I don't have time to do an entire discourse on taking off and putting on, but I will show you this. Look what the Bible says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Look what the Bible says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now look what it says, bowels of mercies. Now notice how the Bible defines itself. I love the King James Bible. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, I'm not going to go find the passage and read the verses of Scripture, but as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things that we are instructed to put off. In other words, there's things in our life that are not pleasing to God, and they're not beneficial to us in our spiritual walk with Christ. They're a hindrance to us. They're a hindrance to our testimony. And so we're encouraged to put those things off. And at the same time, the Bible encourages us that there are some things that we should put on. Now, if there's something that you put off, that means you're going to have to do it. And if there's something that you put on, that means you're going to have to do it. And so, listen, I'm glad that salvation is free, is a free gift of God. Eternal life is a free gift of God. The moment that we're saved, we receive the Spirit of God, we become a child of the God. We're no longer the Satan is no longer our father. God is now our father. We're a son of God in Christ Jesus. That is a wonderful thing that takes place the moment you're saved. But if you want to be a Christian, you have some things that you need to get rid of. Now listen, I want to say this. I said that. I don't want you to misunderstand me. There's a lot of saved people who are not Christians. You understand that? Salvation is given to everyone the moment that they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're saved. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. There's a lot of people who are saved that are not Christ-like. And so, if we're going to be a Christian, we have some things that we need to get off. They're ugly. They destroy our testimony. They're not a light to our neighbor. They're not salt to the earth. They're not becoming of Christ. And so, he says, there's some things I want you to get rid of, some things I want you to take off. He doesn't want you running around naked. And so, he says, when you get rid of those things, put something on. And the thing, as a believer, the things, plural, as believers, that we're asking this passage to put on is kindness. The thing that we're asking this passage to put on is humbleness of mind. The thing in this passage that we're asked to put on is meekness and long-suffering. Listen, you want to see a well-dressed man? It has nothing to do with his suit of clothes. It has nothing to do with his shoes. It has nothing to do with his haircut. It has nothing to do with his outward appearance. Is he kind? Does he have humbleness of mind? Is he meek? Is he long-suffering? Does he forbear one another? That means he is forbearing with others. Is he forgiving one another? Does he have a quarrel against any? If he does, what he's supposed to put on is the same example of Christ, and Christ forgave others. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you would be honest with yourself and think back in your mind, I'm not asking you to go back to a life of sin, but you ought to think about some things that God has forgiven you for, and then think about people you won't forgive and see which one is greater. And what you would put on, if you were honest in your heart and your mind because of that, you would be willing to forgive because Christ forgave you. I want to put on Jesus, and that means I forgive them because He forgave me. And I'm glad there's not a video screen to show you what God has forgiven me of. And if you're honest, you're glad there's not one to broadcast your sin for us to see what God has forgiven you of. And so let's put on forgiveness, amen, and meekness and kindness and long-suffering so we can be like Christ. He is our example, amen. Amen. Now, come to John, 1 John chapter 3. By the way, we're talking about bowels of mercies. And that passage right there in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, is a great passage doing a tremendous job explaining or defining the phrase bowels of mercies. Now, come to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You say, preacher, we're not getting far this morning. I didn't know we was in a race. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 17. The Bible says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so we have seen the bowels of mercy. And here in our passage we just read, we see the bowels of compassion. And so obviously these two are closely related because having mercy on someone is certainly showing them compassion. Mercy is receiving what we do not deserve. That's for sure. None of us deserve the mercy of God. But I sure am glad that He is compassionate, amen. And so, may the Lord help us to never become hard-hearted. And may the Lord never, may we never be someone who our bowels of compassion and our bowels of mercy is shut up because we have become rebellious towards the Lord and the things of God, and our heart is no longer tender towards the things of God or others. Listen, we're living in a miserable world, and it is a blessed thing to be able to have compassion and mercy towards someone who, let's be honest, do not deserve it. You know, and you know what? You and I do not deserve it either. And so before you get so high and mighty and so full of pride and so full of arrogance, I beg you to recognize the fact that you don't deserve His compassion and His mercy either. Now, come to Philemon. Philemon, Philemon, ever how you pronouncing it this week. It is the small little book right before Hebrews. Philemon, one chapter. Now, Biles is mentioned three times, strangely enough, in this small little book of Philemon. And I'm just going to read a couple of them. But look what the Bible says in verse number 7. Philemon, verse 7. It says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Now look, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Now listen, I'm not trying to be funny, but I want you to understand how important it is to know what biblical words mean. Now, this verse, if we didn't understand that the bowels was speaking of the condition of the heart and kindness and meekness and tenderness and all of that, this would be a weird passage. Because it said, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." And so, knowing the proper terminology, knowing the proper use of the word in the King James Bible, it goes from being something that would be repulsive to something that is actually a tremendous blessing. And so here's what is being said. We don't have time to do a study on the book of Philemon, but I want you to notice that Paul is writing a letter to him, and in writing this letter to him, he is commending him. And he says, "We," and if you go back to verse 1, you know that he's talking about himself and Timotheus. And so Paul says, "We have great joy and consolation," that's comfort in love, "because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Brother, your testimony, your Christian character is such that others' kindness, other people's kindness, other people's tenderness, other people's compassion is refreshed." That means it's made new because of you. And so, I you know how something is refreshed. The waitress will come by and she'll say, "Can I freshen up your coffee?" And yes, and then again, and yes, and then again, and yes. And pretty soon you stagger out there like that. But here's what he said. He said, "Philemon, he is a wonderful example of a Christian, so much so that we are refreshed. The bowels of our mercy and compassion, they're refreshed because of his example." Listen, I want to be the type of individual who refreshes your bowels. Don't say that everywhere. I want to encourage you to be kind. I want to encourage you to be tender. I want to encourage you to be compassionate. I want to encourage you to be merciful, amen. And so, what a great thing. Now look down at verse number 20. Skip down to verse number 20. I think there's another verse as well, but we're going to look at verse number 20. Look at verse number 20, Philemon, verse number 20. "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." So in this letter, Paul has asked a favor of Philemon, and now he requests that his bowels be refreshed. I'm convinced that God's people need refreshing. Listen, I'm convinced that God's people need a refreshing in their
vows. Hey, listen, maybe your kindness and your compassion and your tender mercies, maybe they have grown dim, or maybe you have gotten away from the Lord, and your time of prayer and Bible reading and devotion to God has somewhat waned, and because of that, you're no longer compassionate like you used to be, and things are not tender, and you're not merciful like you one time were. Paul said, I want that refreshed in my life. Can I tell you something? If the Apostle Paul needed that refreshed in his life, the kind of man that we've just read about in chapter 1 and now in chapter 2, I promise you, mine needs refreshing, amen. And on the flip side of that, I want to be the kind of believer that others are refreshed by being in my presence. I've been around some people that I was glad to no longer be around. I've been in the presence of some whom I longed to be rescued from. But I've also been in the presence of some who I did not want to leave. They were a blessing. They were an encouragement. They were providing something in my life that I needed refreshed. Amen. I'll tell you one quick story that just came to my mind out of nowhere from years and years and years ago. Brother J.D., I believe, was with us. It was one of the, we made many trips to Looneyville, West Virginia. Yes, it is a place. And for those of you who are interested, it's right beside of Left Hand, West Virginia. Explains Looneyville. But anyway, there is a great printing ministry in Looneyville, West Virginia. Brother John Davis, a missionary we've supported for years, his and his wife's health are just gone. Please pray for them in that ministry. But beside the fact, one of the first times that we went there, one of the first times I met Brother John, we had a church service. We went up to, there's a tabernacle there now, and I've preached in many camp meetings up there on top of that mountain. And when I say on top of the mountain, I'm talking about you better have some kind of vehicle, bulldozer, four-wheel drive or something to get up there. It's on the top of the mountain. But years ago, before that tabernacle was ever built, we took a ride up to the top of that mountain in an old beat-up Jeep, several of us. And we sat up there around a rock where John wanted to build that tabernacle. And we sat there on a Saturday, on a Friday night, or Thursday night, Friday night, whatever it was. And there was a blind man who had a Bible this thick. And in that Bible, there was only one book of the Bible. It was the book of Revelations, and it was about this thick. But I remember he was standing there holding that Bible, and he never opened it. He quoted the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 21. Every single one of those stones, and he never missed a name of a single one of them, and he knew them all by heart. My soul was refreshed. I took my old guitar, and Brother Randy, I can't remember his last name now, he's in heaven, and he had his guitar. We sat around that rock, and we sing about the Lord, and we took turns preaching, and we took turns praying, and we took turns singing. And here's what I wanted to get to. The next morning, we got ready to leave. And I've never had anyone pray for me, and I think Brother J.D. will vouch for this, with such a compassion and such a mercy and with so much kindness as Brother John prayed for us and thanked us for coming. My heart was refreshed to be around those kind of people who wanted to serve God and worship the Lord and just be faithful to the things of God. Listen, I want to be the kind of friend. I want to be the kind of neighbor. I want to be the kind of preacher. I want to be the kind of husband. I want to be the kind of individual who, when you leave my presence, you don't leave saying, I never want to be around him again. I can't stand him. No, I want you to leave saying, I have been refreshed by being in his presence. Paul tells us here, in our text in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Can I tell you, there is consolation in Christ. If there be any comfort of love, can I tell you that there is no comfort like the comfort of love. And he said, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit. Can I ask you this morning, is there fellowship with your spirit and the Spirit of God? I can't answer that question for you. Is there fellowship between you and the Spirit of God? And then he says, if any vows and mercies. Now I don't have time. I wanted to get two verses this morning. I didn't get one. But Paul said, if that's the case, I want you to fulfill my joy Now look at it, because you won't be here this afternoon, some of you. He said, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Because I'll tell you what will make my joy full. If you will be like this individual in verse number 1. You know what Christ wants from you and what He wants from me? He wants us to be like Him. Lord, help us. Get Keisha to come to the piano. We'll stop right there for this morning. If you're not saved, I beg you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are saved, I beg you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you put off the things of this world, wickedness, ungodliness, things that are not pleasing to the Lord, things that are contrary to the Word of God, and would you put on kindness and meekness and love and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness? Man, I'll ask you this. She's going to play in just a moment. Could you imagine what kind of church we could have if all of us followed the example of that in the Bible? My, what a blessing. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Would you come this morning? Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart through something in the preaching.